Well, good evening, everybody. Okay, well, Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, good, good. Hey, thanks for being here, everybody. My name's Jeremy Bauer, and I'm the associate pastor here at Countryside Covenant Church. And so thank you for being here tonight. And if you are new or visiting here, thank you especially for worshiping with us. Now, I understand the challenge. Maybe some of you have eaten dinner already, and maybe starting to doze off. Maybe some of you are a bit distracted, perhaps, of the presents that still need to be wrapped, family that is going to be traveling in or out, the toys that still need to be put together. But I would just ask that we all just kind of just stay present. Just all those things matter, right? But it's okay. Just we're going to acknowledge it, let it go. We're here to celebrate our Savior's birth. We come together as a church this evening, not only here, but throughout the entire world, celebrating the day that God showed up, God with us, Emmanuel. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, that Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. God demonstrated his desire to become a servant, and he humbled himself as a baby. And this plan ultimately included a way to save his people from their sins. God demonstrated his love for us that he showed up. For the past four Sundays, we had been going through our Advent season, and if you are a part of that, you remember that we, on the first Sunday, we did Jesus as the light of life. And then the next sermon was the breath of life. And then Jesus as the bread of life. And then last week was the water of life. And now we are here, and the sermon title is the Lamb of God. Pastor John said last week that, say, someone historic, say like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, we have days designated for their birth, right, on the calendars. It's like, hey, it's George Washington's birthday. All right. We don't really recall their birth. We tend to think about how their lives have impacted the world around them, how their life impacted the world. And yet for Jesus, and on Christmas, we have such a huge focus during this Advent season, remembering Jesus' birth. It's significant. It's significant that we spend that much time, because some scholars say that at Jesus' birth, he fulfilled 48 prophecies that were said about him through the Old Testament. So I'm going to divide this sermon into two parts, or two points, and so hopefully it'll be easy to remember. In his book, Science Speaks by Peter Stoner, he's an astronomer and a mathematician, and he said the probability of just one person fulfilling 48 prophecies, not to mention around 300 prophecies that Jesus had fulfilled, but just 48, would be statistically, 1 out of 1 trillion, 1 trillion, 1 trillion times 13. So you're telling me there's a chance. There is a chance. And it was Jesus, God himself, made something that was extremely impossible. He made it happen. And his birth is the focus here today, because God literally showed up. We say Emmanuel, we sing Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. And his birth is the fulfillment of the prophecies that were said about him hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago before he was even born. And this evening, as we, with the sermon called Lamb, Jesus as the Lamb of God, it sounds weird. Okay, I'll just I'll just caveat that. When we refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God or washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're talking to someone who has no concept of Christianity or the church, and we start throwing out terms like that, it sounds strange. It sounds weird. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'll explain what it means as Jesus as the Lamb of God in context and wrap it up in with Christmas. Stay tuned for that. All right. So thousands and thousands of years ago, the Israelites, God's chosen people, were enslaved in Egypt. They were enslaved for 400 years, and God was now preparing to send them into the land that he had promised them. And so you might have heard about the plagues that came upon the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And the last plague, God said that I would pass over all of Egypt, and I will kill the firstborn in every household, except for if the house had blood. Blood of what? Blood of a lamb on the doorposts and door frames of their houses. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 7, and then in verse 13, God says to Moses, tell the community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And if any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old and male and without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, and when all the members of the community of Israel, they must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And going down to verse 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is kind of one of the first references to God requiring blood to spare the life of someone else or a people. And then you have to understand that in Egypt, the Israelites were shepherds. They were goat and sheep people. And you know, this was their livelihood. This is how they made their living. And the Egyptians would not associate with them because they were shepherds. That was considered lower class or the untouchable people. And so to ask the Israelites to take a lamb, a year old, without blemish, and to go and sacrifice this lamb on this night was a true sacrifice. And they were obedient. And then Moses continues to lead them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and then at Mount Sinai begins to deliver the Ten Commandments and the additional laws that God has laid down for his people to separate them from the rest of the world in which they lived. And we find out that there is blood that God demands in order for reconciliation and forgiveness to happen. It was considered a sin offering in Leviticus 4. And if an individual sinned unintentionally, they could bring a female lamb, or doves or pigeons if they were poor, lay their hands on its head, and the blood would be applied to the altar for forgiveness. The lamb was also a burnt offering in Leviticus 1. A male lamb was sacrificed daily as a continual offering of total surrender to God. And then once a year, on one day, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the high priest would take two goats and he would slaughter the one and use the blood to sprinkle it on the altar, to sprinkle it on the people. And then on the other goat, he would pray and ask that all the sins of Israel be taken upon this goat, and it would be led into the wilderness as the scapegoat. Goats were used, sheep were used. And so, all of that is the context for the New Testament. And when John the Baptizer proclaims in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 31, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." This is an amazing statement of John the Baptizer. He is there. He is proclaiming a baptism of repentance, and he sees Jesus the Christ coming towards him to receive baptism. And he says, "Look, this is the Lamb of God. This is the unblemished, perfect one who has come to redeem all of us." God had demanded a blood sacrifice in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, God literally shows up as the blood sacrifice once and for all, as the Lamb of God. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, the person who is going to come and redeem the people is going to be like a lamb that is led to slaughter. Jesus knew his life and what he was supposed to fulfill through those prophecies, that he became the perfect sacrifice, giving himself for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 14, the author assures us, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanses us, our consciousness, from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." And then the author continues in chapter 10, verses 4 through 7, "It is impossible then for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offering, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God.'" This year, to save you from tears, why don't you give your heart to someone special, right? First service lasts more, it's fine. The one who is not going to give it away, the one who is going to be yours forever and yours his forever. He is the one who loved each and every one of us so much that he chose to humble himself and come to this earth as a baby, to live with us, to live among us, showing us how we are to align our lives of the will of God. This is the best news we could ever receive during this Christmas season. It is truly the best news we can ever receive, the best present any of us could ever receive. And yet sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I get too distracted about things that I got to do at home, laundry after loads of laundry after loads of laundry. All the things that are distracting me and keeping me away from truly experiencing not only what God did for us, but simply acknowledging and worshiping God for who he is. What a great celebration, not only tonight but starting tomorrow and for the next 12 days, we continuously remember our Lord and Savior and for the rest of our lives. Christ is born, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So enjoy him tonight, enjoy him tomorrow, enjoy him for all of eternity. Let's pray. God, we humbly come before you this evening, recognizing you as the perfect Lamb, the perfect priest, the one who has come to redeem us, the one who has come to save us, the one who atoned and took away our sin. And I pray for anyone who is here tonight that has not experienced that yet today. God, that desires to be healed and to be freed. Jesus, would you continue to work in their hearts?